We have a very, very good fortune for us this evening that we have three Srila Prabhupada's very, very intimate associates, disciples with us. Of course, you are aware of the presence of His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu and Her Grace Jagat Tarini Mataji, who have been, I feel it is our great good fortune that those of us who could not go to Vrindavan for Kartik, by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, these two qualified and bona fide Brajavasis have come to give us their association during this holy month of Kartik, especially on this occasion of the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. This morning we heard very, very, it was quite an intense program where both of them, Bhurijan Prabhu and Jagat Tarini Mataji, were sharing the impact Prabhupada had on the Western world in the beginning. We just got a glimpse of what it was for Prabhupada to establish this movement. We got a glimpse thanks to Bhurijan Prabhu and its very, very effective presentation. And also, Her Grace Jagat Tarini Mataji gave a glimpse of what it was for Prabhupada to meet Srila Prabhupada and simultaneously experience the separation from him when he left after a short visit. It was such a wonderful feeling to have such intimate associates sharing their feelings. And we are also having with us today His Grace Dhritakarma Prabhu, who many of you are aware. He is one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who is making a powerful impact in the scientific community by presenting what Srila Prabhupada emphasized about the evolution of mankind. As recently Ekalavya Prabhu was telling, that what was the difference between Darwin and Srila Prabhupada? He said, Darwin said, we are coming from amoeba, but Prabhupada said, we are coming from Vithoba. So, from Lord Krishna. So, Dhritakarma Prabhu is making, has many, many, attended many conferences, international conferences. In fact, last time when we were in Mayapur, he had to leave immediately for one of the important conferences. So he could not be there for the program just because he had to make a presentation in one of the international conferences and many other universities in the world. He is traveling and making this presentation. He has three books to his credit, which we had a presentation by our Madan Gopal Prabhu, that is Forbidden Archaeology, Human Devolution, and Hidden History of Human Race. So we have the good. He joined in 1973 in Washington D.C. and he has been writing many articles for BTG. We have been seeing that. So it's our good fortune that he is also with us this evening. We would like to welcome Dhritakarma Prabhu to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir in our traditional style. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So today evening's program will be like this. We will have a few offerings of our devotees till 7:10. At 7:10, we will have Jaya Anila prayers because Srila Prabhupada left this world at 7:23 p.m. on this day. So we have Jaya Anila prayers and a small aarti to Srila Prabhupada at that time at 7:23, and followed by few of the offerings of our devotees, and the end we will be requesting His Grace Dhritakarma Prabhu, Her Grace Jagat Tarini Mataji, and finally His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu to kindly make their offerings and also share their realizations of their association with Srila Prabhupada. So we will begin our offerings now. I would like to begin with devotees. Mahaprabhu, His Grace Mahaprabhu, can kindly make his offering, and after that I will request His Grace Vrishabhanu Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Srila Prabhupada came here to complete the message which Lord Hare Krishna has given in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said, surrender to me, and people were not ready and willing to surrender. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, because Krishna declared it in several shastra that in Kali Yuga I will appear in the form of a devotee and I will teach you how to surrender, because people were not ready and willing to surrender. And then Krishna taught us how to surrender, means in Kali Yuga, by chanting the holy name of Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Only, this is the only meaning of, Prabhuji has written a book, wonderful book on surrender to me. That's the gist of total Bhagavad Gita, the one word, surrender to me. What is surrender? Means following instruction of Lord. And then people were not able to understand what is instruction. So many things, 700 slok, so many shastra. What to follow, how to surrender. So you say, okay, don't worry. You chant this Maha Mantra and see the result. The people who started chanting the holy name of Lord by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, our country was completely dominated by these brahmanas. They were teaching us in the temples how to get money and dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Means dharma means do some ritual so that you can earn money. And when you earn money, dharma, artha, then kama, then you can enjoy, extend your family, have vasanas and have luxurious life. But in material world, nobody is happy. Dukhale asashvatam, antme, in the end, moksha. You get rid of this material world. So this was the teachings were given to us, and everybody was practically in darkness. When my wife was going to temple, I was standing outside. I never entered the temple even. Because this, we knew it. But Srila Prabhupada has given the complete direction to the total world of this Kali Yuga. How in a most simple method you just apply, make an experiment, as Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj said, you follow this principle what Srila Prabhupada has given. Follow four regulative principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Chant 16 rounds of Mahamantra regularly. If you are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra properly, then you will develop, result will come. Result will be, you will develop desire to serve. If the desire to serve the devotee in a humble mood is not coming by chanting, then it means there is something wrong in chanting. And then your desire to preach will come, if we are chanting properly. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us that Bharat Bhumila Hoila Manas Janma Sarthak Kar Kar Parupukar. First of all, we must make our life successful by very simple method. Total philosophy of Sanatana Dharma Srila Prabhupada has given in such a simple way, which was previously these pandas had kept in the Sanskrit volume books in their treasures to earn money. Prabhupada has given only three simple conclusion of 700 words of Bhagavad Gita. Chant Hare Krishna, Mahamantra. Eat Prasad, 9th chapter, 14th verse. 3rd chapter, 13th verse. Yagyashesh, you offer food to me. And those people who eat food without offering to me, they are eating sin. And lastly, associate with devotees. If we and do your work, balance your life, live, you are not to become sadhu. Live in your family, do your work, but make base of your life on these three principles stated in. So simple. Anybody can apply life. One has not to become a sadhu. One has not to renounce the world. Actually, they are the greatest sadhu. And by this method, he has given this so complicated philosophy. Even the word philosophy is so difficult to pronounce. You see, darshan. And people really get confused. But he made things so simple that we can live. Otherwise, if we don't take this spiritual life, our home will be hell. By following this simple principle, we will develop the power to tolerate the misery of this world. Because this is Dukhale. So he has given very simple method. And Srila Prabhupada, so merciful. Because Lord is merciful. When Putana came, only for the purpose of killing Krishna, putting poison in her breast, and Lord was so kind. He took the milk from the breast and he also took her life. But what credit Lord has given her? He has given Putana the same place which he has given to his mother. So Srila Prabhupada, he was not at all concerned with the minus points of the devotees. If he has seen some spark in any devotee and he started feigning, and just like in somebody came to Prabhupada and gave a toilet paper, and Prabhupada says, "Oh, your spiritual life started." So he started actually encouraging people. He encouraged people in such a wonderful way, and that is the mercy we have got. Very very scientific method, we have seen it, and we got such wonderful, disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Unfortunately, many of them, we are losing them. Tamalkas Maharaj, we lost. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Sridhar Maharaj, and recently Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. But one very important thing Srila Prabhupada has taught us, that when you live not like politicians want to preach people other things and they themselves are rascals. Prabhupada taught us, live a simple life, apply these principles in your life, and very important thing with these four great Mahajans who have left this world and took Samadhi, they have taught us how to die before we die. Because that is the message we have to learn, that human life is not meant for this economic development which a total world is made for it. Work hard like a donkey, earn money and enjoy like a dog. That's the philosophy Srila Prabhupada has given us, that human life is not meant for that purpose. Human life is meant for something else, to get atato brahma jigyasa. So you, from here now, you can go back to Godhead. And a very simple method he has given, by those applying those simple principles, the principle which Bhakti Tirtha Swami has given on the line of Parikshit Maharaj, that Parikshit Maharaj, when he was about to die within 7 days, he cut off his relationship with the material world. Srila Prabhupada, by your books, we came to know all these things. And he cut off the relationship and he completely involved before, he was to die after 7 days, but he actually died before 7 days. Eating, sleeping, read anything, everything he gave up, and hearing about Krishna only for those 7 days. So you are same thing Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has done. Same thing, even Tamal Krishna Maharaj was also, you know, when he was in Mayapur, all the time practically he was doing kirtan in his room, and which he has never done previously. So those that seriously, and so we are very very thankful to Srila Prabhupada. What you have given to the world, people are not able to understand. Gradually they will understand. People will hanker for the association of the devotees. You, whatever you have given, if we can apply that, just like we may not be knowing the meaning of that, just like poison even people are eating accidentally, it's going to make effect. In the same way, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra which you have given to the world, this is changing the world. Hare Krishna has become the household word throughout the world. We are very, very thankful to you. Only our desire is that we can serve and we can live in the association of devotee. Hare Krishna.
I request Vishwavana Prabhu and then we can start on.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, in one of your purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, you refer to the Pandavas as malleable Pandavas. Snigdha Pandushu, you translate it as malleable Pandavas. So malleable is a scientific term, technological term actually, and you say that malleability is malleability to the will of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So the Pandavas were malleable to the will of the Lord, and the Lord became malleable in their hands, and thus he reciprocated with them in various different ways. He became the Sarathi, he became their Sakha, he became their Duta. So he assumed so many positions just for the pleasure of his devotees who were malleable in his hands. This morning we had a very beautiful description of the prayer that was written by Srila Prabhupada. Burujan Prabhu described it so intensely and so beautifully. He said that when Srila Prabhupada, you entered Boston, and you, in that prayer, you very specifically mentioned that you would like to be Kashtera Putli, that you want to be a puppet in the hands of the Supreme Lord and in the hands of your spiritual master. So this actually is malleability at its best. So you allowed yourself to be completely malleable in the hands of the Supreme Lord Krishna and also your spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And how did Krishna reciprocate with you? So you went to Boston, America practically with nothing, and within a few years there were so many wonderful Vaishnavas generated in an almost godless society. There are so many beautiful temples built, thousands and thousands of books distributed. You yourself authored so many of them. So the Lord reciprocated with you because of your being malleable in the hands of Krishna and being malleable in the hands of your spiritual master. So we also find that your disciples are also similarly malleable, and they have also done wonderful works in propagating your wonderful mission of Krishna consciousness. So, and on this very auspicious occasion, I also pray that I become malleable in the hands of my spiritual master and serve your mission. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vishwan Prabhu. So now we will have the prayer to the departed Vaishnavas, Jayanila Premadhana, after which we will have Aarti to Srila Prabhupada.
జయనిలో ప్రేమ ధన కరుణ ప్రచు హేను ప్రభు కొత్తా గెలా ఆచార్య ఠాకూర్ హేను ప్రభు కొత్తా గెలా ఆచార్య ఠాకూర్ కహా మోరా స్వరూప రూప కహ సనాత కహ మోరా స్వరూప రూప కహ సనాత కహ దశ రఘునత పతిత పావ కహ దశ రఘునత పతిత పావ కహ మోరా భట్ట యుగ కహ కబీరా కహ మోరా భట్ట యుగ కహ కబీరా ఏక కాలే కొథా గెలా గోర నటరా ఏక కాలే కొథా గెలా గోర నటరా অশনে কুতিব মাথা অনলে পাসিব অশনে কুতিব মাথা অনলে পাসিব ଆସନେ କୁ ଥିବ ମାଥ ଅନାଲେ ପଶିବ ଗୌରଙ୍ଗ ଗୁନେର ନିଧି କୋତା ଗେଲେ ପାବ ଗୌରଙ୍ଗ ଗୁନେର ନିଧି କୋତା ଗେଲେ ପାବ ସେ ସବ ସଙ୍ଗୀର ସଙ୍ଗେ ଝିକଲୋ ବିଲା ସେ ସଙ୍ଗ ନା ପାୟା କାଣ୍ଡେ ନରୋତ୍ତମ ସେ ସଙ୍ଗ ନା ପାୟା କାଣ୍ଡେ ନରୋତ୍ତମ ଦା ଜୟାନିଲୋ ପ୍ରେମ ଧନ କରୁଣା ପ୍ରଚୁ ହେ ନ ପ୍ରଭୁ କୋତା ଗେଲା ପ୍ରଭୁ ପଠାକୁ ହେ ନ ପ୍ରଭୁ କୋତା ଗେଲା ପ୍ରଭୁ ପଠାକୁ ହରେ କୃଷ୍ଣ 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 ହରେ 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 ରାମ ହରେ ରାମ 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 ହରେ 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 କୃଷ୍ଣ 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 ହରେ 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 ରାମ ହରେ ରାମ 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 ହରେ ପ୍ରଭୁ ପଦ ପ୍ରଭୁ ପଦ ପ୍ରଭୁ ପଦ ଶିଲା ପ୍ରଭୁ ପଦ Jayo Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada Shila, Prabhu Pada. Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, 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 Shila Prabhupada. Jayo Prabhupada, 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 Shila Prabhupada.
Tasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanaravinda mahaprabhu kirtana nitya वादित्र माध्यम मनसुर सेना रोमांचकं श्रुतरंग भागु वंदे गुरु श्री चरणारविंद श्री विग्रहाराधन नित्य श्रृंगारतन मंदिर मार्जनद युक्तस्य भक्ता शनियंजतोपि वंदे गुरु श्री चरणारविंद चतुर्विधा श्री भगवत प्रसाद स्वादन्न तृप्तान हरि भक्त संधा तृत्वैव तृप्तिं भजत सदैव वन्दे गुरो श्री चरणारविन्द श्री राधिका माधवयोर पार माधुर्य लीला गुण रूप नामा प्रतिक्षणास्वादन लोलुपस्य वन्दे गुरो श्री चरणारविन्दम् निकुञ्ज योनोरपि कलिसिद्धे यालिभिरपेक्षणीया तत्रापि दक्षततिवल्लभस्य वन्दे गुरो श्री चरणारविन्दम् साक्षाद्धरित्वेन समस्त शास्त्रे उक्तस्तथा भाव्यथैव सति किन्तु प्रभोर्यः प्रिय एव तस्य वन्दे गुरो श्री चरणारविन्दम् यस्य प्रसादः भगवत् प्रसादः यस्य प्रसादा न गति कुतोपि ध्यायं शुभं तस्य यशस्त्री सन्धा वन्दे गुरो श्री चरणारविन्दम् वन्दे गुरो श्री चरणारविन्दम् वन्दे गुरो श्री चरणारविन्दम् वन्दे गुरु श्री चरणारविन्द वंदे गुरु श्री चरणारविंद प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की
Hare Krishna. So we will continue with our offering. I will request Her Grace Tulsi Manjari Mataji to kindly come forward and make her offering. And I'll request His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu to kindly be ready.
Srila Prabhupada would instruct and teach His disciples every detail of the smallest things, right from clean habits, how to dress, how to preach, to do deity worship, etc. He did it all with patience and love. He was so forgiving and compassionate towards all his... There were so many things he said about eating and prasadam. In the initial days of his preaching abroad, he attracted people by distributing prasadam. He said, "Gulab jamun are bullets of ISKCON." About eating, Prabhupada said, "You should eat till your belly is half full. One pot should be filled with water and one pot should be empty. Then your digestion will be good. If a man cannot sleep immediately after he goes to bed and passes stool immediately after eating, he will be soon called by Yamaraj. But if he passes stool before and after, urine after, a physician cannot earn a living from him." Prabhupada was concerned about the health of the animals in the farm as well as women disciples. When he learned that a Mataji was expecting, he said, "You should drink milk every day." When he heard a horse in the community farm was not well, he said, "Give him chickpeas and he'll be all right." In New Vrindavan, he would sit on Vyasasana and distribute cookies to devotees. One day, our Guru Maharaj, Radhanand Maharaj, brought him a plate full of Mahaprasad, right from the deity altar. Prabhupada tasted and appreciated each and every item and passed it on to his disciples, who felt very thrilled. Kitchen, he said, was Radharani's department. Krishna would leave Radharani if he was not so much attached to her cooking. When one time during his last years he was offered a plate full of prasadam, he joked, "I have no tea and no appetite." He joked that his disciples were getting good service out of him since he could not eat or sleep, but still he worked. Prabhupada had saintly qualities which attracted devotees to Krishna consciousness. By his wit and humor, deep knowledge of shastras, liberal distribution of books and prasadam, he made Krishna consciousness interesting, not dry. We owe a lot to Srila Prabhupada for the sacrifices he has made to establish and run ISKCON. It's only because of Prabhupada we can understand a little bit of Krishna's inconceivable potencies and get a little insight into how to please Krishna. It's only because of his broad-minded views and bold outlook that Matajis have been given a chance to serve the Lord in the temple and reside in the temple. We women are specially grateful to Srila Prabhupada for his mercy flowing through his disciples. Good fruits come from good trees. We can feel this through his wonderful disciples. Please bless us, Prabhupada, to serve the Lord always. Hare Krishna.
Ji, so I request Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, in the meantime, His Grace Govinda Prabhu to kindly be ready.
A personality like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, to actually assess the impact on our lives, on the lives of the whole world, is really actually beyond our capacity. It is only history over hundreds of years that could at least attempt to give an honest and a proper perspective of what his impact is. Nevertheless, the one of the reasons when we celebrate Srila Prabhupada's appearance and disappearance days is that we get an opportunity to really take stock also of our lives, to simultaneously understand the impact that Srila Prabhupada had on the whole world, but at the same time, what he meant to us on an individual personal level. It is inconceivable how, for a person who in 12 years, as we know, he went 14 times around the world, and that too after he had crossed the age of 70, and before that he had never done so. He went to every nook and corner. What was the reason? It was basically just to... it was like an aerial bombardment of... just like you have aerial sprays on the field, just to put the seeds all over to see that then in course of time, in future times, you can see the product grow. So Prabhupada, he came here with a special purpose. He has not come here like just because of his karmic reactions. He came here to fulfill the order of his spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna's mission to spread further the holy name of the Lord. And for that, Srila Prabhupada really undertook this aerial bombardment of the holy name, sowing the seeds, and thereby millions of people have actually got the benefit. But more important for each and every one of us, and that is the inconceivable part, is that how is it that he really means has converted thousands of people's lives completely all over the world and for times to come. Most of us in this room, practically all of us, have never physically met him. And yet, it is the deep impact that he has left on our lives that has made us try to understand Lord Krishna's what he spoke in the Bhagavad Gita and actually change our life. So I would really pray to Srila Prabhupada that on a personal level, that he, just like he has in his life demonstrated right through, that he put Krishna above everything else. Above everything else meaning literally above everything else. There was no compromise. There was no obstacle that could stop him from whatever he did. And we see in his life, he had several challenges right through. Personal, family challenges, in business, and then later on, even in his preaching mission all over the world. But he demonstrated that nothing should stop him. And this is what he has tried to imbibe into all those who were his serious disciples, people who were willing to follow him. He kept on telling them right till the end that, especially when his body was giving way and he became just a bag of bones, his disciples were shocked to see him in his last months. And then he was telling them that, don't think that this will not happen to me, to you all. What has happened to me, all of you will also one day face that. So what he was actually saying is that this life is meant for a special and higher purpose, and right till the end, he personally led that example of without compromising, really fought like a general on the battlefield. So I really pray to Srila Prabhupada, as we take stock of our own personal lives, that just a small part of his determination to rededicate, that as he dedicated his life, that I can rededicate my life in his mission, and in such a way that whatever the Lord wants, whatever the way the life unfolds in future, that we don't miss the focus of Krishna consciousness, and thereby understand how what he has actually personally given us, and try to reciprocate. Ultimately, the only way we can sincerely thank Srila Prabhupada, the only way I can thank him, if I have any gratitude, would be to try to reciprocate and see that whatever his instructions are, as he lives through his words and his books, that we actually, that I actually try to follow it, and thereby try to please him in some way. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. It is a fact that one's level of advancement can easily be judged by one's appreciation of the contribution that Srila Prabhupada has made. Because the more we appreciate, the more we remain indebted, and the more we are inspired to reciprocate in some way by completely dedicating ourselves. So, the length and depth of his contribution, it just is unlimited. I would like to request His Grace Govinda Prabhu, and then I will request Grace Radharani Mataji to kindly begin.
Hare Krishna. One time His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj was mentioning, and he came in touch with the devotees. He didn't know anything about Krishna. He said, but we knew that Prabhupada knew about Krishna. We could peep into the life of Srila Prabhupada, and through him we could see Krishna. Similarly, today morning, when we were doing Mangalarti on this very auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, I was feeling that there is no feeling at all about the separation of Srila Prabhupada. Why there is no this strong feeling about experiencing the separation of Srila Prabhupada? But after hearing the class of Gurijan Prabhu and Jagat Tarini Mataji, then this thought dawned upon me that you don't have direct relationship with Prabhupada. Therefore, how can you feel directly the separation of Srila Prabhupada? But I could experience the separation of Srila Prabhupada through the separation what these two devotees are feeling. So therefore, as many devotees have spoken, we have heard many things about Prabhupada's contribution, Prabhupada's temples, Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's philosophy. But the contribution which will continue to remain, we don't know how long, but as long as it is there, we should grab on the contribution of his wonderful devotees, his disciples, who had the association of Srila Prabhupada, and they experienced the separation of Srila Prabhupada's association, and through their separation, then we can experience the separation of Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, if we continue to experience the separation of Srila Prabhupada, eventually when our turn comes to leave this body, then we will have the ecstatic union with Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna.
After this offering, I am tempted to request the three intimate associates of Srila Prabhupada to take the rest of the time and actually enliven us. But I would request one or two, Her Grace Radharani Mataji, and after that, His Grace Naveen Neerad Prabhu, who is here, to also share his realization, and then we will go to the...
Hare Krishna. Today morning, His Grace Burijan Prabhu and Jagatarani Mataji gave a wonderful class, and in that he was mentioning that how we cannot even fathom what Srila Prabhupada has done. Many times when we preach, he was mentioning rightly that we try to speak in such a way that it would be appealing to a particular section or a particular class of people whom we are preaching to. But when Srila Prabhupada was preaching, who was the audience? Audience who had absolutely no concept of spirituality. Everything was new, everything was foreign to them. So it was obvious that only a person with a very, very high degree of purity, absolute faith in the Lord and the instructions of his spiritual master could achieve such a feat of preaching and converting millions of people and helping them to surrender to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So it was only because of Prabhupada's wonderful, his faith in his spiritual master, his immense love and compassion for all the conditioned souls, that today we have this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So on today's day, I pray at Srila Prabhupada's feet that I may become a humble instrument in the hands of my spiritual master, overcome all my anarthas and transcend my selfish desires to help him in assisting Srila Prabhupada in preaching to the conditioned souls. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, thank you for allowing me to be here today with you. And I don't know what to say. I look like a tourist. I feel like a tourist. Happy to be visiting this spiritual abode. We just came from Mauritius, on our way from Switzerland, on our way to Mayapur. And it is actually quite amazing. If you want to see Srila Prabhupada's... one of his glories, one of his manifold outstanding qualities is that whoever comes in contact with him through his books and through his devotees, their lives become blessed. They become touched. So I was in Mauritius, which is, as you know, an island off South Africa. And you might be in a very remote place of the world. And in a hotel, in a resort, in any place, and all of a sudden, you have people who come up to you and they say, "You wear this Kunti Mala? I'm also a devotee of Krishna. I also chant Hare Krishna." And then you know, Prabhupada was here. Or then, yesterday I was at the airport buying a ticket to Calcutta, and the person in the counter in front of me, he had just missed his flight to Delhi, and he turns around and he says, "Hare Krishna. You're a devotee of Krishna? I'm also. I'm a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And what is your name?" And you can see, you know, their smile, their face. And you know, Prabhupada was here. Then when you distribute Prabhupada's books, one time I gave a book to somebody in America, and that person was not very appreciative, but then he tried to remember, and he said, something... fried in and then dipped into yogurt with strawberries. And he was describing Malpura, you know, strawberry Malpura. And he said, "Is this the same thing? Is this the same movement? Is this the same taste?" And I said, "Yes, this is the book, you know. You already had the taste, so this is the book." And he immediately bought it. And you know, Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada has already touched this person. So you can see, Prabhupada's presence, whatever he touched, whatever he came in contact with, those people have become blessed. They have gotten a full exposure to Krishna consciousness. So you have been blessed by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and all your senior devotees here with Srila Prabhupada's mercy to be part of this wonderful experience. So I beg you humbly, please don't take it for granted. Cherish each and every moment in your lives and make other fortunate, make other people fortunate by giving them Krishna in the form of Prabhupada's books, in the form of the holy name of Prasad. And by giving, you will taste much more. After all, what is our ability to taste? How much food can we eat? How much intelligence do we have? How much appreciation do we have? But if you see that smile on a person's face when they get that feeling, wow, ooh, this is nice, then you know, Prabhupada has been here. Prabhupada has touched that person. And you can get a little bit of glimpse what it was like in 1960-something in Golden Gate Park or in New York or in San Francisco or wherever it had been. You know, this is the moment where Prabhupada touched somebody's life with Krishna consciousness. So if you want to experience that, you know, special moment, please engage in the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You will never regret it. I have not regretted it for a moment. I'm still living off the punya of the pious credits from my past. So, so even if you want to be a successful whatever, you know, businessman, housewife, industrialist, medicinal practitioner, whatever it be, just please be in touch with Srila Prabhupada through his books, give Prabhupada's mercy to others, and your life will become successful. Huh? Even though all these other designations, eventually they will go away, don't worry. You will be relieved. You will be happy. So thank you for allowing me today to take part in this wonderful program here in your wonderful temple. And please forgive all our offenses of myself and my family. I come here as a beggar. I came 7 years back as a beggar. I'm still a beggar 7 years later. So thank you for tolerating me. This is all Srila Prabhupada's mercy and kindness. So please bless us. We can stay in Mayapur and visit often and have your darshan. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Navin Nirvada Prabhu. By hearing, we know that Prabhupada has surely touched him, because the legendary book distributor that he has been and has been the transparent via media, or as they say, a channel in touching physically and literally touching the lives of hundreds through distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And I'll request him to keep touching here and touch us just before marathon and inspire us to have some influence in the lives of people by touching and giving that, being a via media to the touch of Srila Prabhupada. So now I will request, we all want the best of the association of these three exalted devotees who are with us. This is as good as having been with Srila Prabhupada, as explained by Govind Prabhu, because I feel they have been personally touched by Srila Prabhupada, and therefore by hearing from them, I am sure we will get an experience of what it was like to be with Srila Prabhupada. So I will request His Grace Dhrutakarma Prabhu to kindly speak his heart's content and do not look at the watch. You don't have to, it's so easy to believe in Sri Krishna just by seeing Srila Prabhupada. It is very difficult to imagine Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill to someone new, but just seeing one old man single-handedly starting and holding the whole international, shouldering the burden of the whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which continues to give shelter from the thundering rains of the miseries of material existence. If a personality empowered by the Lord can do it, then why can't Krishna lift the Govardhan hill? So I'll request His Grace Dhritakarma Prabhu to kindly.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I first saw Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan in 1974 when I was a very young devotee, Bhakta Michael. And he was coming from the airport in Pittsburgh in a car, and the devotees in New Vrindavan were waiting for him, chanting, you know, in a chanting party. So I was in that chanting party. And when he got out of his car, and I first saw him for the first time, you know, I began to cry. And I was crying for two reasons. The first reason was, you know, I felt, you know, he had been my guru in a previous life, and somehow or other I had failed him or disappointed him. And now he was out of his causeless mercy coming, you know, once again to save me or rescue me somehow. I mean, I don't know if that's true. Only he knows if that's true or not. But it's true that that's how I was feeling, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I was crying. And the other reason I was crying is because I had this feeling, a very certain feeling, that, you know, I would never be physically close to him, you know, in this life. You know, I knew, you know, even when I first saw him that I would be serving him in separation, you know, even during his, you know, physical presence. So for that reason, you know, I was also crying in separation. And that feeling of separation was there for me during his entire, you know, presence in this world. And the feeling that I had at that time on first seeing him was, you know, actually true. You know, I never had the opportunity to speak with him personally. You know, I was a very insignificant disciple, a very junior disciple. On a few occasions, I had the opportunity to hear him give a class, you know, in New Vrindavan, in Atlanta in 1975. But after the class was over, I was just sitting there alone, feeling the separation that I always had felt. And, you know, he had said many times that the spiritual master is present in two ways, in Vapu, the physical form, and Vani, the instruction. So even from the first time I saw him in New Vrindavan, I was understanding that in this life, you know, my association with him was going to be through his Vani, you know, only. And it turned out, you know, to be true. You know, that feeling that I felt in 1974, it turned out to be true. that was the chance that I had to serve him, was through his Vani in separation. Of course, the disappearance day of the spiritual master is saturated with that mood of separation, Yeah, even though it's on a certain level the same as the appearance day, but still, on the disappearance day of the spiritual master, the mood of separation is there. And I learned of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance during a morning program in Los Angeles and New Dwarka, we were informed. And for many of his disciples, that was the moment that their feeling of separation began. But for me, I'd been feeling it during my entire time, as a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I'd always felt that. Of course, I felt it even more intensely after his physical departure. As I said, he had always mentioned that in the absence of the spiritual master, the spiritual master's instruction, the life and soul of the devotee. And he himself was the perfect manifestation of that. I mean, many of his disciples have written many volumes about his life, many thousands of pages. But I think all those thousands and thousands of pages can be summarized in one sentence, which he himself often repeated. He said, I follow the order of my Guru Maharaj. That was my qualification, he said, again and again and again. That was the summary of his whole life. That he followed the order of his spiritual master. And therefore, we're all here today, with the opportunity to participate in this Krishna consciousness movement. So, a few days ago, I was in Calcutta, and I had the chance to visit some of the places of Prabhupada's pastimes, his appearance in this world. Of course, he appeared in the Tuligunj neighborhood of Calcutta. So I visited that place. I visited the Mulik temple where he would go as a child. I looked at the place where his father's house was. The house is no longer there. But for me, the most important place that I visited was the house at Ulta Danga, where on the roof of that building, Srila Prabhupada, as a young man, first met his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he had recalled, he had given a little bit of an argument to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who had said to him, "Yes, you're young, intelligent, English educated, you should spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya all over the world in English." And he had replied at that time, "Well, but who will take the message seriously? India is not independent." And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "No, it doesn't. There's no material condition. India may be independent or not, but Lord Chaitanya's message should be spread." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I was defeated by him at that time." And he took up that order. It was repeated to him in the year that his spiritual master left this world, 1936. He wrote to his Guru Maharaj, asking if there was anything he could do, and he got the same reply. You just spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So his whole life can be summarized in that, in his own words, I follow the order of my Guru Maharaj. And as for an insignificant disciple of Srila Prabhupada like myself, I have always realized that the only hope that I have in this world is to somehow or other try to satisfy some desire that he had, some order that he gave. So somehow or other, I was led to try to satisfy one desire that he had, namely that this what he called nonsense theory of evolution be challenged somehow or other. It's not so much that I was ever so much interested in science, but I could tell he was interested. He wanted something done. So it was an opportunity that was given to me. And I think, all right, I have this feeling of separation. And the only medicine for it is to try to satisfy some desire that he had, some order that he gave. And these orders and desires, they're there for anyone to pick up. You could say they're just like jewels scattered on the ground. His desires, his orders, they're there for anyone, disciple, grand disciple, great grand disciple, to pick up. So, if we are, it's one of the mysteries of devotional service that in the feeling of separation, one actually experiences the presence of the beloved to an even greater and more intense degree than in meeting. He often said that. So it's one of the mysteries of devotional service, we could say, that if we are feeling some separation from His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, then somehow or other, by serving in that feeling of separation, by taking up one of His desires, by taking up one of His orders, and He gave many. There's enough for everybody. There's no shortage. He had no shortage of desires to spread Krishna consciousness in so many ways. He gave many orders that to this day have not been fulfilled. So we all have the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada in this mood of separation, which is particularly intense today, the day of his appearance. But the mystery of devotional service is that by doing that, by entering into that mood of service and separation, his presence becomes more strongly felt. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Brother Gurma Prabhu. I'm sure in his humility he said he has picked up one of the desires, but we know from the recent conversation that His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was telling through the mail that how dear was this desire of Srila Prabhupada to preach to the scientific community, how eager he was and how interested he was, that he was ready to pay a big sum to see that this preaching could go on. And that has been taken up by Prabhuji, and he has been doing a wonderful service. As I have already mentioned, these three books are to his credit, which are making a powerful impact in this scientific community. His Grace Dhrutakarma Prabhu will be giving a class on 28th October, that is a Saturday, at Bhaktivedanta Hall at 7:30 p.m. And the title will be Human Devolution, Vedic Alternatives to Darwin's Theory. So those who are technically interested in preaching to this particular crowd are specifically invited to this lecture. Now I will request Har Grace Jagat Tarini Mataji to kindly speak to us.
Hare Krishna. In 1976, we traveled with Srila Prabhupada. First, we were living at that time in Melbourne, and we had our daughter. She was 18 months old. And we were on our way to America. So my husband discovered that he could get a ticket or tickets that corresponded with those of Srila Prabhupada, so we could travel on the same flights as him from Melbourne to Auckland, Auckland to Fiji, Fiji to Hawaii, and then from there he would continue on to Los Angeles. At that particular point, we were leaving Australia after having been living there for some years, and we were a little bit anticipating what would be our next step. We were hoping that it would engage us more fully and more directly in Srila Prabhupada's service. Of the three of us, of course, my daughter was so young that she was just a traveler. She had no thoughts in what was taking place. And my husband was very determined, but for myself I was a little bit hesitant because I was leaving something for something unknown. When we arrived in Fiji, Srila Prabhupada had taken note of some reluctance that he saw in my heart and in my consciousness. And he wanted to rectify what was missing, what was not clear. So he called us to see him personally in his room. And when we came into the room, he was seated on the ground level on a cushion, a mattress, behind his desk. And we were seated in front of him, just the three of us in the room. And Srila Prabhupada asked, "What is the problem?" And sometimes one is reluctant to do something, but one's thought processes aren't so simple that you can say, "Oh, my problem is this." And so one has to, in fact, start to begin to talk, and gradually it becomes clear, clarified, what is the problem. So we spoke in front of Srila Prabhupada, and many misunderstandings and misconceptions were brought to light. Different things that had caused some hesitancy in wanting to continue to serve him. So we spoke, and then it became time for Srila Prabhupada to take his lunch. So he concluded our conversation, and it felt like it was quite a valuable opportunity to get some things out in the open, to clarify some misunderstandings, and to speak to him very heart to heart. So then at the end of the conversation, he said, now it is time for me to take my lunch. He said, but you should not create problems. When you create problems, no one can help you to solve them because there isn't any problem. But you're creating a problem. So we took this instruction to heart and we went out, paid our obeisances and went to take our lunch. And Srila Prabhupada took his lunch and took his rest. Then in the early afternoon, Srila Prabhupada sent again his servant and he came to see us and he said, Srila Prabhupada wants to see you. So I was quite moved that he wanted to see us again because it appeared that he had completed everything he wanted to say in the first session. So we came and paid our obeisances to him and Srila Prabhupada looked at us and he said, what is the solution? So then we began to talk further. And at that particular time, this was in 1975, I had been a devotee for 5 years. 4 of those years had been in Hong Kong, where we had quite naturally association through preaching with many Indians. But I was still firmly fixed that I was clearly a Westerner. I was not, I could only superficially relate to the Indian aspect that I had come in touch with. So when Srila Prabhupada asked this question, what is the solution? He continued with a conversation which only ourselves actually, I had a small tape recorder, we were the only ones who were present. And so he went on discussing different things that were relevant to us at that time. And then he started to glorify the Indian culture. And he pointed to the room that we were staying in, this Fijian Indian family's room. And he pointed to the wardrobe. And he said, you see here, they keep the Lord in the wardrobe. And the door, when you opened the door, you see the altar was in the wardrobe beside the clothes and so forth. So he said, they keep the Lord in the wardrobe and they worship him very nicely. And the wife is so submissive and she never argues with her husband. And she is just, whatever her husband wants, she does that. And wherever her husband is, just to be there with her husband is her perfection. And I was sitting listening to this and starting to feel more and more uncomfortable because I had a feeling that he was trying to tell me that I was supposed to be like this and I didn't feel anything like this at all. So I waited. He continued on glorifying the chastity of the Indian wife and the simplicity of their faith and their fixedness and so forth. And finally I thought, if I don't say something, I'm a hypocrite. So I said to Prabhupada, I said, but Prabhupada, I wasn't brought up in this culture. And he looked at me. And his eyes were like, as you see, those who were here this morning, who were looking at the pictures of Srila Prabhupada on the slideshow, he could make his eyes very, very big. And when his eyes were very big, sometimes he'd look very amazed. Or sometimes he would laugh. Or sometimes his eyes would appear like he was crying. And sometimes his eyes would look very intense, like he was shooting arrows with his eyes. Very, very powerful. But this time his eyes became very, very soft. Very, very fatherly. And I'm sitting there, all of 25 years old, thinking, is he going to ask me to be like these Indian ladies? Is this what he expects? And I was very nervous, and he looked at me. And he just looked at me for a moment, and then he said to me, he said, I know your culture is different. So I felt relieved. And then he said, but if something is good, why not try for it? And it was such a completely moderate, reasonable, accurate, honest, serious answer that all my defenses that I was holding on to, that he's going to ask me to do this and he's going to expect me to be like that, they were all relieved. And I became less guarded, more relaxed with him. Then he continued on to speak to my husband. And he was chastising him because he felt that he was the cause of the difficulty. So he was saying to him, you were in Hong Kong, but you were so restless. You did this, but you did not stay. You were so restless. And every time he would say this word restless, I knew it was not my husband who had been restless. It was me who was very restless. So actually this was at the end, the last thing he said at the first conversation. Finally I said to him, I admitted it. I said, Prabhupada, it was me who caused all the restlessness. It was me who wanted to leave. It was me who couldn't stay in Hong Kong. And this was the end, remember, of the first conversation. So then he looked at me. He said, you caused all this difficulty? And I felt, well, I wouldn't have put it quite like that. I didn't want to feel that I was the only cause of all this great difficulty, but I had admitted my fault, so I wasn't in a position to be able to remove that statement. So I sat there quite soberly as he assessed the situation. And then he looked at me, and this was the first conversation. He said to me, you caused this difficulty? And I'm feeling yes. And then he said to me very gently, not angrily, not harsh, not firm. He just said to me, he moved his head and he said, then you suffer. And it was so gentle, and I knew how much I was suffering. So it was like the doctor who takes your pulse and says, oh, you have a fever, then you will feel hot and have a headache. So then, as I said, he asked in the second time, what is the solution? And we spoke more, and he spoke about this ideal womanly example, following her husband, worshipping in the bedroom, in the closet, and so forth. And then we went on further. And finally he said to me, when I added a few more comments, he said, best thing for you, he said, in an extremely grandfatherly way, even beyond fatherly, because father has to sometimes chastise and say firm things. But this I saw Srila Prabhupada at his most kindliness. He said to me, the best thing for you, he said, is that you stop taking instruction from anyone else. And you simply take instruction from your husband. And I thought, gulp, all due respects. I was thinking, and then he looked at me in a very, very, very clever way, with his eyes a little sparkling, and he said to me, because he understood a Western woman's mind, he said, and if you think that your husband is incompetent, he said, so expert, he said, then you just come to me, nobody else. You just come to me and I will take care of everything. So his expertise was such that naturally enough, it was not that I wanted to go to him and say my husband is incompetent. I naturally had to follow my husband and work on things as they came up. But somewhere in the back of my thinking was always, if my husband doesn't solve this problem, I'm going to go to Prabhupada. He said to me, I can just come to him. So this was his charming way that he went from country to country, year after year, at a time of life when generally most people are thinking of retirement and taking it easy and taking care of their health and relaxing a little bit after a hard life. But this was when Srila Prabhupada was speeding up and beginning his preaching. And one time I heard a story. It was in Mathura. One devotee there was telling me that Srila Prabhupada was living in the mat there at that time. And one day some people came up the stairs, and that particular temple was not very ornate or very well established at that time. And Srila Prabhupada had a very humble room and a humble setting. And he was sitting in front of the deities with this other brahmachari. And these Delhi people, perhaps, they came up the stairs and they looked around at this place, and it was very humble and modest. And then they left and they went down the stairs. And Srila Prabhupada turned to this brahmachari and he said to him, he said, "They have come to this temple and they see only two old men. But they do not know that my whole life's work is still ahead of me." So this was Srila Prabhupada. He traveled the world and stole hearts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bhaji. We have been having such wonderful classes for the last 2 days, and Mataji always says this is very analytical, but her presentation is holistically analytical yet very holistic. This morning how wonderfully she summarized in the last two classes in Bhagavatam, she was giving the essence. So it is our good fortune that we have her with us and sharing this Saturday. This Saturday we have Mataji will be giving the class on to the Chetana. It is from 5 to 7 p.m. on feminine qualities, where she has direct received instructions from Srila Prabhupada. So we can take full advantage of this. Before I request His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu to give the concluding offering before the Aarti for Prabhupada, I would request one more devotee who had the good fortune of associating with Srila Prabhupada, had talked to him, and also did the service of taking him from Juhu temple to the train, railway station, on the last journey from before he went to Vrindavan. And that is His Grace Srinathji Prabhu. I would like to kindly request him to make his offering.
Hare Krishna. After hearing these wonderful offerings by Prabhupada disciples, I'm sorry I'm going to take your time, but there are two things which Mataji mentioned just a few minutes ago, which almost every person I met has experienced when they had seen Prabhupada. His vision was as good as an X-ray machine vision. He could just see through right up to your soul, because he was not on the bodily platform. That was absolutely clear. He was on the spiritual platform. Though he was living with us, he was 1971 when I saw him first. I was unable to understand what he was getting at, because his philosophy was absolutely opposite of what I was trained in, Mayavad philosophy. And then when Prabhupada gave the books to my father, they were just like time bombs, as Prabhupada himself used the words. They were his own books, and they were lying on the shelf of our library from 1971 up to 1975, when I became very, very interested in his books, Bhagavatam. By that time, I realized that I had missed a great opportunity to directly serve Prabhupada or have more intimate association. And he comes through his books as if he is speaking to you. It's the same as was earlier mentioned, the Vani and Bapu. Actually, Vani is very, very powerful in case of Prabhupada, because somehow he is just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nam Nama Kari Bhauta Anija Sarva Shaktis. Similarly, Prabhupada has put all his energy, all his Shakti into his books. And his books are so, so powerful that when I started reading them, when I realized that what I had been reading earlier from other philosophers was not true. Prabhupada's was true. So the difference was between truth and untruth. Such a vast change of axis, as it were, from negative to positive axis. And then I started appreciating so many things. So I requested Giriraj Maharaj, who was our temple president at Juhu, and he was my Siksha Guru, who was teaching me everything. I said, next time Prabhupada comes, I would like to surrender to him. So he said, fine, we'll talk to him. But it was too late because he had the kidney problems and other problems of his health. So I kept on feeling that I missed this great opportunity. But it's not true. We got the opportunity to serve him here when there was nothing here. We had no idea that Prabhupada had walked down the stairs of Bhartiya Bhavan, and he had told his secretary, Shamsundar Prabhu, that we should have a center here that is just not even 1 minute walk away. And Shamsundar Prabhu had never told us, though I knew Shamsundar Prabhu from the old days, from the 70s. And we just walked here, and I thought, let me see. But I always felt that we will have one of the best temples, preaching centers and temples in the world, right here. And this was such a horrible place when we took over as managing trustee. And I felt it was really like a place in hell. Because we had these big, big rings here. There was this Iyengar's yoga classes. And we were not allowed to have anything except a small cupboard on which we had these small deities. It is only due to Radhanath Maharaj's very, very strong perseverance, dedication, total faith in Srila Prabhupada, that we see what we have got here. But really speaking, Srila Prabhupada, this is your project, not our project. We are simply your instruments, Nimit. And what you see here is all due to his mercy. Mercy of Srila Prabhupada always took shape, form. It was not just hollow words. When Prabhupada said something, I remember right in the beginning also, he told my father, for instance, that you must arrange visas for my American disciples, because my father was a member of parliament, so naturally like a senator, so he could do something for Prabhupada. And my father was very keen to help. So he said, please see that this inquiry of CIA spies against me and my disciple is stopped. I mean, it was like, I was stunned that he was ordering my father, who was a member of parliament, he was treasurer of the Congress party, which was in power. And my father was simply accepting instructions from Prabhupada, as if he was his servant and Prabhupada was the Lord and Master. Being a Mayavadi, I was sort of pulling my father's coat, that how far are you going, you know? Everything he says you are doing. He wants your money, he wants your time, he wants your service, everything. Now I realize that that was the best thing that ever happened. Otherwise we wouldn't have this temple here. We would never have had Prabhupada here. Because he showered his entire blessing on us for the simple temple. The Mataji who spoke before me, Jagat Tarini Mataji? So Jagat Tarini Mataji, I met you for the first time. I was very impressed by what you said. Because these are exactly the things that I observed from 1971 onwards about Srila Prabhupada. Absolute frankness, truthfulness. But at the same time, he was very careful in selection of his words. He would never offend someone, though the other person was offensive or mentally offensive. He would never offend. He knew that he had to win the heart of the people and use them in the service of Krishna, not in his own personal service. So this was the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Over and over again we have seen this at that time. And at the end he was very thoughtful, he was very kind, he blessed us in the train. I surrendered to him in the train, just catching his lotus feet, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was aghast. He said, nobody touched Prabhupada. And his feet at that time had become very thin because of not having had any prasad for a long time, except I think juice and charanamrat for many, many months. And Prabhupada's weight was very less because when he was carried into our car, it was a big, huge Dodge car I had at that time, and he just fitted like a small child, very small. And earlier, I remember Prabhupada was like a warrior when he used to fight. So, he swung from one position to the other position, where at the end we all appreciated him, because not he was fighting with us or we were fighting with him, but because we surrendered to him, we thought this is the best thing to do and the only thing to do. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Srinath Prabhu. So now I'll request this Bhurijan Prabhu to kindly give us the... And I would like to take this opportunity to thank Jai Kurupad Prabhu for inviting his parents and making this month of Kartik very auspicious for us by the presence of these two wonderful Brajavasis. Harik. You want to speak a few words? Yes. It's an order. Yes, please. Two words. Other than Hare Krishna. Other than...
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pustaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Shamani Tanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivasesha Sanyavadi Pashkati Dezatarane. Om Aganatiminandasya Janajana Salakaya Saksus Militan Zainatasmai Sri Gurave Namam Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Zaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Satanantikam Vansha Kalpachuvyascha Kripasindhu Vayevacha Petitanam Pabanevyo Vaishnavyo Namamama. One very fallen and incompetent soul will now, in his embarrassed way, has to speak. I had planned to speak about two sides of Srila Prabhupada. One side, both Srinathri Prabhu and Jagtuni Mataji, and spoke about very sweetly his heart-stealing side. But even before I mention that, I wanted to echo Radha Gopinath Prabhu's words about the service that Jyoti Kamala Prabhu is performing. And Prabhupada really identified that which was holding together the materialistic society, the whole thing, the linchpin, was everyone's full faith in scientists and science. And Prabhupada was so powerful and revolutionary, he wanted to pull that linchpin out so that all of modern materialistic civilization, which is soul-killing, especially the educational system, it is soul-killing for the children growing up into adults. He wanted to pull that linchpin out and collapse it so that people of this world could become humans. Humans, and it is natural for a human to have faith in God, in Krishna, and to be selfless. And Jyoti Kamala Prabhu has taken this up as his mission. And if what he said about his previous life is true and it had the ring of truth to it, certainly Prabhupada will give him his full blessings. I have no right to say this in one sense. Who am I to say this? But I know how dear this scientific preaching was to Srila Prabhupada. So if there's any way we can support this service, we would feel very fortunate. So Prabhupada had a way to steal hearts. One time in Japan, in Kobe, he even said, "I am like a lamb when I am at home, but I am like a lion when I'm out." And indeed, Prabhupada was just like a lion. And indeed, he was just like a lamb. So with the devotees, they could not have surrendered the way that they did without his sweetness, his kindness, his heart-stealing qualities, his softness, his gentility, his love, and the atmosphere that he carried with him of Vrindavan, of love for Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, of his being a full servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of his Guru Maharaj, his selflessness, his sweetness again. He could not have spread the Krishna consciousness movement without that, because how much can one man do alone? He needed many, many, many arms. And Krishna clearly empowered him with his words, with Prabhupada's words, and with his very presence to attract so many young and not so young sometimes, but mostly young men and women to give their whole lives in Srila Prabhupada's service. But yet, Prabhupada was also a lion. And the thing that brought out Prabhupada's lion-like nature more than anything else was what? There is science, but what else? Yes, exactly. Mayavad philosophy.
Because absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast removed. Prabhupada saw that as within the heart of his Guru Maharaj, because this Mayavad philosophy is wicked. It is insidious. In the garb of spiritual life, it destroys the sense of devotion to Krishna. Instead of Gopi Bharta Parakamalai or Dasa Dasana Das, one in the garb of spiritual life wants to become Krishna, become one with Krishna. So, one time in 1972, Prabhupada was going to Sudama Prabhu had arranged a program in amongst the Sindhi community of Kobe. And Prabhupada and one of the men there had offered to possibly, depending upon how the program went, to give Prabhupada one of his apartments in his apartment building as a temple. So Prabhupada saw the opportunity of preaching. He got on the program was arranged, and he decided that he would go. But what Sudama didn't tell Prabhupada was that on the same time, on the same program, there would also be another speaker, another sannyasi, and that sannyasi was a Mayavadi. So the scene is set for Prabhupada the lion to exhibit his roar. So we got on the train, the bullet, which is a very, very fast train. And Banu Prabhu, now Banu Swami, His Holiness Banu Maharaj, was sitting in the seat opposite from Prabhupada, and he moved, he stood up so Prabhupada could put his feet up and thereby be a little more comfortable. But the train was moving so fast that the conductor said, no, he cannot stand. So they somehow or another, I was sitting next to Srila Prabhupada, so they went, you have to tell Prabhupada, his feet were up. You have to let Prabhupada know that he has to put his feet down. So I tried my best and I said, Prabhupada, the conductor says that Banu Prabhu has to sit down. Could you move your lotus feet? And Prabhupada, in his heart-stealing way, he just smiled and said, I will move my lotus feet so the lotus-like devotee can sit down. That was Prabhupada the lamb. In everyone's heart, when Prabhupada spoke like that, everyone's heart just melted. There was no false ego. There was nothing. So we got to the apartment, and it was up on several floors up, and Prabhupada just walked up. And when speaking about Prabhupada, we don't feel comfortable talking about our part in the little Leela. But when Prabhupada would walk up the stairs, but those parts in the Leela were all we had. And when Prabhupada would walk up the stairs, without looking behind, he used a cane, he would just drop it and hold on to the banister. And I would hold it every time he would do this. And in doing a little service like that, in Prabhupada's presence, with the heart melted, it was completely satisfying. And from that, I'm thinking that really Prabhupada is doing all the preaching, as Prabhu said, and whatever we do, seemingly big or not, is just menial service, holding the cane so that Prabhupada can work his Krishna's potency, Krishna Shakti Nahi Vina Tar Parvartana. And this is really, and you see this really in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the most, one of the most intimate chapters, the 13th chapter of Madhya Lila, where the dancing of Mahaprabhu at Rath Yatra is described. Mahaprabhu describes Namo Brahmanya Devaya, and then he describes Krishna, and then he describes Krishna more intimately, and then still more intimately, and the gopis, and he quotes a verse from the 10th canto, which summarizes the entirety of the 10th canto, Krishna's Leela. But his conclusion isn't Krishna with the gopis. The conclusion is Gopi Bharta Parakamalayo Dasa Dasana Das, just simply a menial servant. And this is Mahaprabhu's highest teaching, practically speaking. So to hold the cane was so, because my consciousness was melted in Prabhupada's presence. It was the perfection of my life. Now, without Prabhupada's personal presence, I have so many other aspirations and desires to become big and do this and this. But as soon as we have any other desire other than being a menial servant, if anything else enters our consciousness, it is the definition of illusion. Because that's all we could ever be. I once had, years and years ago in Vrindavan, I had almost like a psychic mystical experience. I was looking at a picture of Krishna, and it's a famous picture, and in the picture there's cows and cows and cows, looks like hundreds and hundreds of cows, and there's Krishna and Balaram. And I suddenly understood that in Goloka Vrindavan there are billions and billions and billions of servants of Krishna. Billions and billions. And all the top positions are filled. And all I could ever become is an insignificant servant. And I thought immediately, maybe I'm in the wrong movement. It's good to laugh at one's foolishness. But it was true. If Prabhupada is doing everything, and his mood is my Guru Maharaj is doing everything, but for us, it's Prabhupada who's doing everything. So we arrived, and the program was arranged. And it was in a hall that was usually used by the Sikh community. So there was the like a Vyasa San, but the person who would read the Guru Granth Sahib would sit on that. So they were arranging, because they were mostly Sindhis, and the common elements between the Sindhis and the Sikhs, it's very similar. So when I saw the Vyasa San, I said to the head of the community, the one who had arranged it, that Prabhupada should sit up there. And he said, no, this is for the one who reads the Guru Granth Sahib. So I said, yes, Prabhupada's so senior, he started the movement all over the world, this and that. And finally, he agreed. So we put...
Just, I think, as soon as we finished, we got the lights back. I would like to also inform all the devotees here. Tomorrow evening, His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu is presenting a seminar on japa or chanting of the holy name. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. And this week, following week, there will be prayers of Kunti Devi. From Sunday morning, Bhagavatam class, and in the evening. Sunday morning, Bhagavatam class, we are starting the Kunti's prayers, and Monday and Tuesday evenings, we'll be having these prayers. And specifically, I would request all the devotees to take full advantage of this, his presence here. And you, all of us have know this, his surrender unto me in all the other books, that Burijan Prabhu, as a very, as a natural teacher, this morning he presented, we were actually transported back to 1968 and got a glimpse of what Srila Prabhupada had to face to preach. So we will be transported back 5,000 years on Sunday morning and evenings of Monday, Tuesday, etc. Tomorrow morning's Bhagavatam class will be given by His Grace Dutakarma Prabhu. So all are invited for that. And now we will have Pushpanjali and Maharati.